Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, September the 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2010. Today's topic, ADHD Awareness, Part 2, Where's the Hope? This episode of Attention Talk Radio is being brought to you by the ADHD Coaches Organization with the support of Chad, Ada, Totally ADD, and Attitude Magazine. To learn more about the ADHD Coaches Organization, visit www.adhdcoaches.org. This week has been a great week. It is Friday. It is we're getting towards the end. This has been National ADHD Awareness Week. Nationally, there's been a lot that's been going on. Both the ADD Coaches Organization and Chad, Ada, and Attitude Magazine have been promoting things this week, and I encourage you to go to their websites. I believe that I know last night there was a couple different things going on, Bridgeline conference calls, seminars and stuff on the topic, and I believe there's some going on tonight. So if you go out there and Google the Internet, I'm sure you can find some of them. But this is a three-part series on ADHD awareness. Last week was part one, and this is part two. And today we're going to focus on where's the hope. With me in our virtual studios today is Catherine Corman and Joyce Kubik. Catherine is a reporter and writer in Massachusetts with Teenage Triplets. She holds a Ph.D. in American Studies from Yale University and was an assistant professor at Harvard's History Department for 5 years. She left the position in 2003 to pursue writing projects, including Positively ADD with Ned Hollowell, and to have time with her kids, all of whom have ADD and other learning disabilities. Her work has appeared on National Public Radio and in a variety of magazines, newspapers, and academic publications. She posts regularly on her blog, Bowl of Cherries, about parenting and politics. We also have Joyce Kubik, who is an ADD coach and is a skilled trainer since 1998 in Avon Lake, Ohio. She has ADHD herself and raised children with ADHD. Joyce conducts workshops for adults and children, educating them on what it means to live with ADHD and how to make it work for them. Her recent study, Efficacy of ADHD Coaching for Adults with ADHD, was published in the Journal of Attention Disorder in March of 2010. So with all that, ladies, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys coming on. I'm pretty excited about today's show. Last week we were talking about is ADHD's real. So now that we know that it's real, now we're looking for hope. And Kathy, I'd like to start with you. Can you talk to us about the relationship between the diagnosis and hope?
Sure. It's a good question and one that I hope listeners will take some hope from. You know, if you are struggling with something and you can't name it and you don't know what it is, you just continue to flail. But once you know what it is and you can name it, you can stand on the shoulders of everybody who's come before you and learn the kinds of strategies that have helped them. So I found in interviewing 17 people for Positively ADD, a book with Ned Hollowell, that to a person, every successful adult who had been diagnosed with ADD found that that diagnosis was actually liberating. They felt that for the first time they could wrap their head around what they were experiencing and they could begin putting together a plan to deal and to cope and to build a great life. So rather than feeling stigmatized or put down or isolated, they found a community, they found help, and they went on to build terrific lives.
All from actually getting the diagnosis and naming it to say, hey, listen, there is something like this out here. There is some hope in order to propel them forward.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it was getting tested, hearing back, look, you know, we can name this, we can tell you what it is, what do you want to do about it? Well, then they can participate. They can actually decide, okay, you know, what is it that I can do to make my life easier, better, smoother, and happier?
Absolutely. Joyce, from your perspective as an ADD coach, when people come to you with a diagnosis, can you speak to how they come to you with that diagnosis? Are they hopeful at that point, or are they in despair? What presents itself for you?
They're definitely in despair, and it's very interesting because when they first come to the workshops, and I have workshops that are 6 weeks in length and 2 hours every week, and when they first come to the very first workshop, they're sitting there looking at you for all the hope in the world. They're just staring at you thinking, what can you do to help me? And so many times they feel like this is the last straw. What am I going to do? And just as Catherine said, there is a feeling with them just knowing that they got the diagnosis and that they just felt so much better just actually knowing that they're not stupid, they're not lazy, that this is just something that's going on in their head and they have to figure out how to deal with that. So they do come in the first session looking so forlorn and so what's going to happen now? What's going to happen with the rest of my life?
How does that change through, I mean, that's as they present themselves in workshop, but as they go through the time that you spend with them, does that change over time? Does the hope grow, or how does it unfold?
It sure does, because each week that they're in this workshop, they're doing observations of something about themselves. It's either cognitive, behavioral, emotional. They're doing some kind of observations about themselves, or they're doing some kind of a strategy or a structure that we introduce very, very slowly. And each week that they come back, you can see the change in their faces. You can see the change in their interaction with the rest of the group. And the groups are just small groups of, you know, 6 to 8 people max. And they just begin to share as a family. And it's so comforting to them to have somebody else to sit there and talk about the same struggles that they have and how what they learned last week has really made them feel a little bit better. So each week you can see the faces changing, laughter in the room. There's a lot of reason for them to have hope to come back each week.
You know, one of the things that I found too is when people get together and they share the same struggles, there's hope. But it's also fun when they get together and they hear stories of success where somebody actually they got the diagnosis and they've been able to work around it and they really kind of propel themselves forward. And in some situations, turn it into a strength.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. This is Kathy again, and I think that that's kind of what I was hoping to do with Positively ADD, the book, that there's almost a virtual community of folks. You know, you learn the real stories of real people who are, you know, they've struggled, either they found out when they were kids or they found out as adults. They found out that, you know, they weren't the only ones who could never find their keys or who couldn't get their homework in on time or felt smart and couldn't, you know, roll it into a ball and show what they could do. You know, they were so stuck. And then, you know, getting to listen, I felt very privileged actually getting to know these people, getting to listen to what they learned to do. And some of those strategies were, you know, incorporating exercise into their lives or using a coach or learning organizational strategies or, you know, learning that school's not everything and that they're going to have a chance later to pick the right kind of work or career. So, you know, just knowing that, hey, you know, you're not the only one dealing with this, and you're not, you know, you're not stuck in the same rut or pattern forever. You really can make choices that are going to be right for you.
Yes. I remember, too, I remember in one group, because not everybody that comes to me has been diagnosed as ADD, and we had a young a man in there, and he was probably in his mid-30s, and he was sitting there every week for three weeks saying, well, I'm not sure if I have this, I'm not sure if I had this, and he kept describing it, and in the fourth week he said it again, and three of the other people in the group simultaneously looked at him with a very, you know, friendly, laughing manner, and they said, oh, you've got it 100%, and everybody just started laughing. And because every week he just kept trying to get into that little bit of denial, although he knew he had it, but when he said it to them, the whole room was just laughing, including him.
Could I share a story, too?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had the great good fortune to be back in touch with the mom of one of the people I profiled in the book. And this is a young man named Devin Barkley. His folks really were tearing their hair out all the way through grade school and high school. Devin was clearly bright but not real academic, and he was really struggling in high school. He had a tremendous gift. He's an amazing soccer player. And at the time that I wrote the book and published the book, Devin was playing professional soccer. His folks had allowed him to stay out of high school to get his GED. He went on and did Olympic development soccer and got signed first in Washington and then actually in Ohio, Joyce. And he played professional soccer, major league, for a couple years, but, you know, his soccer abilities were not going to carry him through adulthood. And his parents had helped him save, and you know, he knew a lot about ADD and knew a lot about himself. And, gosh, if he didn't decide to go back to school, they didn't even know if he'd ever go to college. He didn't know if he'd go to college. And he ended up at OSU. He was tested. You know, he showed that he was eligible for some special services at the university. But here's the thing. He couldn't play soccer there because he'd already been a pro. So what did he do? And this is like the classic making lemonade out of lemons of an ADD-er. He's got a great foot, right? Mm-hmm. So he went out for the football team as a place kicker. And golly, if he didn't get onto the team, get a full ride at OSU. And last year, his place kicks got the team to the Rose Bowl. He's graduating.
I know who you're talking about. I know this person.
This is Devin Barkley. This is Devin Barkley. He's just in Sports Illustrated. But when I interviewed him, he was just this kind of great, happy-go-lucky kid playing soccer. He had no idea where he was going or what he was doing. And when I talked to his mom... Well, I talked to his mom last week, and she was saying, you never know. But, you know, the thing here in raising kids and raising yourself even, don't give up. Keep looking for your strengths. Like, if you're looking for hope, find where your strengths are. Have some faith. Know yourself well enough to craft a life around those strengths so that you're playing to your strengths. And, boy, Devin's story really highlights that.
One of the things that we promote on the show a lot for those with ADD, is to find your obvious solutions that are not so obvious necessarily to everybody else, and it's based off of how you do it and what your strengths are. And in a weird way, that story you just described is he found what was obvious to him to move his way through that is to actually take what he could do over to the football team and share it over there, and it was, you know, obviously a great story getting them to a Rose Bowl. So that's a
doozy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That is great. That is great. I didn't know that whole story. That's great.
Moving on, Joyce, would you briefly describe the work that you've done that supports your knowledge that there's every reason to have high hopes for ADDers?
Mm-hmm. I did a research study, and in every one of the workshops that I have in the very first week, people rate 22 different areas of concern that have to do with their behavior, their cognition, how they think and process information, and also behavioral emotions, all of their emotions also. Why we get so many angry outbursts, why we can't stay on task, why it's hard to do a project alone versus with somebody with us, and so on and so forth. So there were 22 different areas in that. And what I found was by the end of those, up to a year or so after that they had been finished with coaching, I measured all those 22 areas again, and I found such a huge increase in how they now behave and how they interact and how their emotional self is. It was a huge, phenomenal difference. It was a great study, and it was actually published in March of this year in the Journal of Attention Disorders. So
oh, wow.
I found that people can really grow. People can make things happen, but they have to make it happen in their own way, not the way everybody else who's not ADD tells them how to do it. And in doing that, in knowing and the strong awareness that I teach them in my classes, understanding themselves and who they are with ADD is what made them successful, not listening to everybody else.
I love what you're saying. I love this analogy that kind of goes along with this, just to kind of I think it's a neat illustration, the way you think about it is, you know, it's obvious in this world, like, let's say, you know, there's a kindergarten teacher. She walks in the first day of school, and it's obvious to pass out right-handed scissors because, after all, 9 out of 10 kids are right-handed, right? I mean, it only makes sense. But not everybody's right-handed. And when you look at one kid or two kids that are really struggling, you pause and you say, well, these kids might be a little bit different. And if you look at them and say, hey, listen, they're left-handed, the obvious solution is, hey, give them a left-handed pair of scissors. And so many times those with ADD, it's don't look at the mainstream stuff. Understand how you're different and look what's obvious. And sometimes it's as blatant as, duh, just use left-handed scissors. So it's that was just a wonderful story. Kathy, I'd like to ask the same question of you. Can you briefly describe the work that you've done and what that supports your knowledge that there's every reason for those with ADD to have high hopes?
Well, I could broach confidentiality and talk about my own kids, but they're teenagers, and so that's off limits at this point. But you know, I can tell you, just you have to trust me on this. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. But the project that I entered into with Ned was to find and identify adults who could say that they were successful, not because they've made a bunch of money or because they were famous, but because they had been able to set goals that mattered to them and they could reach them. And talking to this incredible array of people, everybody from, you know, a journalist to an entrepreneur, James Carville, who is a political strategist, all these people, a guy who heads a SWAT team in Colorado, listening to all these people talk about the struggles that they had, and they were significant struggles, and the ways that they made it out, you know, what they did that allowed them to figure out how to have a really terrific life, it made me understand that, okay, it's possible. And I entered into the project because one of my kids really needed more information, and I didn't know where to find it. So I sort of felt like, how am I going to tell this kid everything's going to be okay, that he can be whoever he wants to be, unless I know? So the book is really this place where all these people are saying, listen, if you can hear my story, if you can follow along, I can tell you this really is possible. And, you know, Jeff, you were saying something about, you know, going with your strengths. They're obvious to you but not to everybody else. I think for a lot of kids and a lot of adults, there's so much pressure to define success one way. And the perfect example is James Carville, who's this very famous political strategist. He flunked out of college. He went into the Army. He still felt he should be a certain sort of person. And so he went to law school. Like, what do you do if you're not sure? You go to law school. And at some point, this is what he told me. He said, if I had to hire a lawyer, I wouldn't hire me. And when he realized that, I know, but, you know, it's like it took him so long to get to the point where he realized he wasn't playing to his strengths. And he had been kind of on the side volunteering for political campaigns, and he realized that he was most alive and at the top of his game when he was doing stuff with politics. And so that's what he did. He dumped the law, and he, you know, little by little just threw himself into it. And, you know, again, you know, my God, what a success story. So, you know, my work that leads me to believe that success and ADD can go hand in hand, it's really anecdotal, it's experiential, it's from listening deeply to people talk intimately about their lives.
You're so right on. I want to kind of keep this kind of conversation going with some examples, but before we do, I want to run to a commercial break real quick. Before we do that, Kathy, for those who are interested in the book or interested in contacting you, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, there are probably two easy ways. One, I have an email. It's Catherine with a C, CATHERINE.Corman, CORMAN, at Verizon.net. I also have a website, www.catherinecorman.com. So either way, you'll get to me. There, you can get my email through the website.
And Joyce, for those who want to get in contact with you and learn more about your workshop, how can they contact you?
Okay, they can email me also. It would be kubikja@bridgetosuccess.net. And kubikja is K-U-B as in boy, I-K-J-A. At bridgetosuccess.net. And the website is the same. It's www.bridgetosuccess.net. Either way, they can get hold of me.
With that, we're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dig Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. The topic is ADHD Awareness Part 2, Where's the Hope? And with us in our virtual studio are Catherine Corman and Joyce Kubik. We've got about 8 minutes left of the show, and what I find so powerful sometimes, particularly for this episode, about Where's the Hope are the success stories. So we've already shared a couple of them that I think were really pretty powerful, but I'd like to kind of continue. Joyce, can you share any success stories that I think our listeners will find inspiring and very hopeful?
I do. I always remember the man who was in his early 40s, and he came to the workshop again feeling the same way, that there wasn't much hope and where is he going with his life. And one of the things that so many people with ADD complain about is the fact that they can't read and retain the information, that they want to read a book and they love to read. People with ADD love reading and love knowledge. And so one of the things that we covered in there is how to read as a person with ADD, how to make it work for you. We discussed the importance of, maintaining focus and whether you're using medicines or not and how it can help. But one day when I was, after he had finished the workshop, maybe a year later, I was in getting my car serviced, and there sitting across from me was this guy that was really into this book. You could just tell. He's reading away. And he puts the book down, and we recognized each other, and we started talking. And he was telling me how he was so grateful for what he had learned about himself, that he started to have enough faith in himself that he could actually do the things that he always wanted to do but couldn't. And one of them was reading. He said, "You can't get a book out of my hand. I'm a voracious reader. My wife is always asking me to put the book down." And as he started to tell me that he couldn't thank me enough, there were tears in his eyes. And it just is a wonderful, wonderful story of somebody who could achieve something just knowing more about himself and some special tools to help him work with it. So that was such a good story for me. I wanted to cry with him.
That's outstanding. Kathy, do you have some more stories you could share?
Oh, I do. I'm smiling just remembering getting to meet all of these wonderful people. John Bunnell, who's a chef in Fort Worth, he has his own restaurant now. He was teaching school in Fort Worth, and he's kind of a big strapping guy. He hunts. He was played football, big guy, but he really loves to cook. And he decided to go to chef school. This radical thing where he left the teaching behind. And the kind of neatest thing was that he had been diagnosed in college. He had really come to terms with this. And when he set out to look for a cooking school, he knew that the number one fanciest cooking school would give him a leg up. But when he really looked into the curriculum, there was a lot of bookwork, a lot of sitting still, and he found another very good school. It still wasn't the prestige cooking school, but he found it, and it was all practical. It was all hands-on. It was all kind of learning by doing, and so that's where he enrolled, and he never got anything less than an AA+. Came out, and he was able to open his own business. It's this, again, this sort of self-recognition, self-knowledge. Linda Pinney, she's an entrepreneur, brilliant young woman,
so scattered. You know, how did she manage to make it? Well, you know, she has assistants. She has, and she's figured out ways to structure her work life so that she's playing to her strengths and she's innovating. Margaret Toronto, she's a marketing consultant. Amazing ability to remember some details, but an amazing capacity to forget many, many others. And when she was finally diagnosed, she, you know, was able to start looking at her computer to do organizing to help with the business that she was working for. And, you know, she stopped forgetting stuff and stopped missing deadlines. John Bunnell, the chef, he carries a pad of paper around in his chef coat. And he puts all of his notes in one place because he, you know, if he's catering a gig, he needs 100 different ingredients in his car before he leaves to be able to go cater. Well, there's no way he's going to remember all that. So he's learned to write everything down. You know, so it's the compensatory strategies, knowing what it is that you're good at and then building on that again and again.
It's as we tell these stories, you know, there's some very common themes that are coming up. One is don't necessarily do it the obvious way. Do it your way. It's kind of reoccurring things that kind of come up. And the other thing, too, is reaching out and getting some help in different forms. I've worked a lot with ADD that you put them in a room all by themselves and send them off to do something, and they're paralyzed, but you put them in with a group of people. Just like the guy going to culinary school and the practical type thing, and all of a sudden they really start to shine. At the same time, I've worked with some that in groups they're paralyzed, where if they kind of go on themselves, but it's really the way they do it, and the doing it the way you do it, and the reaching out and getting support systems and really help really seems to be common to better propel these people forward.
And that's really bad.
And Jeff, you remind me of a young lady that who started using the planners that I use with students, teaching them how to maintain and be consistent with their homework. And she was doing really well using the planner for this 1 year in school. The next year, she was in the next level of school up, and they told her she had to use the planner that the school gave her, that she couldn't use any other planner. And she, even though she said she does better with that one, they said, no, you need to use our school planner. Well, the first semester, her grades started failing and started getting D's and C's. And then she finally came to me and got another planner, and she said, I don't care what they say. And what she did is she carried the school planner with her, but she used the planner I had and brought all her grades back up to B's and C's and A's. Yeah,
I love
C's
that
and A's,
story.
Actually. Yeah. She advocated for herself.
Absolutely. And it comes down to that, is just advocating for yourself and being who you are.
And not feeling bad about it. But, I mean, I really want to chime in with this. You know, you do it differently. You know, you study best with music on. You know, a million different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do better with a particular kind of organizer, or you're better using a smartphone, or, you know, you put stuff on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. One guy in the book, the only place he reads, it's the back of a jet. You know, something about the motion and the sound, that's what does it for him. And you know what? Getting to the place where you don't feel like you need to be embarrassed about it. You celebrate it. It's who I am. It's who I am, and it's how I work best. I know myself, and I know what I can do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No more shame.
Touche, touche.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We want to kind of wrap this up. I want to remind everybody, next Friday is, again, part three in our three-part series, but next week, we're going to be talking about where's the help. We're going to have Rob Garrett and Vicki Ball on talking about that. So please join us next Friday at 2 o'clock. And, ladies, before we go, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. And, again,
thank you for having us.
Kathy, could you let everybody know how they can find you?
They'll find me at www.katherinecorman.com, Catherine with a C and Corman with a C. And, Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure. And, Joyce, how can they get in touch with you?
It's www.bridgetosuccess.net, and thank you so much, Jeff.
Everyone, we'll catch you next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.
Bye now.